Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, where I coach owners of cleaning companies on anything and everything related to building and growing cleaning companies. If that's you and you're committed to growing your cleaning company, growmycleaningcompany.com. Go there, get everything you need to create the cleaning company you've always wanted. If you want to be a guest on the show, if you've got feedback or questions you'd like us to answer on the show, you can email our producer, Natalie, at nat@growmycleaningcompany.com, or just give us a call, 480-648-5149. You can apply to be on the show, leave a message, whatever you want. We are excited to hear from you. Today, we are chatting with Doug Gibney from Classic American Steam. Classic American Steam serves the North Houston area with residential and commercial cleaning. If you want to reach out to Doug and his team, you get a hold of them at www.classicamericansteam.com. Doug, say hello to Cleaning Nation.
Well, good morning, folks.
Good to have you, my friend. So how did you wander into our little universe, my friend?
I was checking a bunch of stuff out on YouTube, trying to do stuff myself an inexpensive way and learn from other people that have already done it before me. So, and you guys had an awesome show on there, and I decided I want to check it out, and I watched a whole bunch more, and I was like, I got to be a part of this.
Yeah, we get a lot of that. Like, I don't know about you, but when I find a show I like on Netflix or something, I can't just watch one. I got to be an addict and watch like all seven seasons. We get a lot of people that wander in like that, where they get hooked by one thing, and then they're like, I've listened to every ridiculous show or, you know, podcast or whatever you got going. So glad. Welcome to the family, my friend.
Well, thank you.
Well, before we start chatting about how we can help you, let's hear a little bit about where you're at. How'd you get in the business? How many employees you have? Any partners? Which, you know, tell us, give us a little background.
Well, I got into the business a long time ago, actually kind of close to where you guys are at. I started doing air ducts and kitchen exhaust in Phoenix there, in Scottsdale. And then that was right out of high school. And then went to the Navy, got out of there, moved to San Antonio, and started my first company, which was Kitchen Exhaust. And they, while doing that, they asked if we knew anybody that could clean carpet. Well, I had a friend that did do carpet, so I brought him in. And we took a $200 a night job into $400 or $500, and then because we were able to service a bunch more stuff. The more I learned about the carpet cleaning, I was like, man, this is a lot easier. I don't get grease in my face. Let me focus on this. And soon after that, I got certified in restoration and all the way up to crime and trauma scene decontamination. And so there's probably nothing I haven't seen before. And this started back in the late 90s. So I've just progressed along. I've worked with a bunch of other companies, working, growing them. And it was about time that I said, hey, let me do this for myself this time. I'm going to stop being somebody else's contractor, making them rich. I like working with the customers, especially the restoration and the homeowners that get to see what we do. And it's pretty powerful. They see you take care of their house. They paid a lot of money for and worked hard for, and you care as much as they do. And then you make them proud of it. And so then that's job satisfaction, and we get paid for it. So I just kind of took that for the next 20 years. And now I've got my number two guy is Cody. And I tell you what, the marketing wizard that guy is, it just, now we're at a point where, what do we do next?
All right, beautiful. Well, you are in the right spot. Just to be clear, so do you do mostly disaster restoration, mostly janitorial, mostly maid service? What's kind of your business look like?
I don't know. Mostly it's carpet cleaning and tile grout cleaning. And then we are stone experts. We clean, polish, hone natural stone, granite countertops, marble, travertine, all anything natural stone. We've got one of our employees is a 25-year veteran doing nothing but stone. So even if you got chips and cracks, we can fix it. And so we just like to bring that luster back out on there. But it's between carpet and stone is what we focus on.
Okay, so you don't do a lot of disaster recovery. It's mostly carpets, floors, like tile, all that good stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We do the restoration, but we are certified in it. Our focus is on the other because there's so many bait and switch people out there trying to get insurance money and all that. We like to take care of the people that need us.
Okay. Okay, cool. And then do you do any janitorial work or is it all just floors and carpets?
Just floors and carpets and countertops.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, and how many employees do you guys have right now?
We got four.
Okay, cool. Plus yourself and Cody, or including yourself and Cody?
That's with us.
Okay, cool. That helps you just get an idea of where you're at. That said, let's talk about getting you to where you want to be. How can I help you today?
Well, we're at a point where we want to add to our fleet, and we have a couple of people that want to be employees, but I want to bring them on and not give them enough work to do because we all got to eat. But I want to be able to do that, but I want to do it without incurring a lot of debt. And so we spent a lot of time trying to, local market on the internet and things like that. But I mean, are we missing something? What else can we do to just grow inexpensively?
Okay. That's a great question. I think it's something that a lot of Cleaning Nation deals with. So let me give you a couple things. First of all, I want to encourage you and everybody listening. There's a lot of this kind of fallacy of like, I got to take on debt, or if I could just find an investor, if I could get a bank to loan me. And I have usually a pretty big problem with that. And it doesn't sound like you've got that, but I just, for the people out there listening, that I want to make sure this question goes answered when we set this foundation before we move on. You better have a really, really, really good reason for debt. And you better be able to do the numbers that, I need to buy a truck mount, which is $40,000, and that's going to be $800 a month. And this thing should be able to produce $6,000 in revenue. And I've got a plan for, and all that good stuff. And even then, I'm cautious. But a lot of guys are just like, I want to have debt for advertising or for quote unquote grow my company. But they don't really have a goal for that debt. Good thing is, most of the time, banks won't lend it to them because it's a bad idea. But if you do have that and you don't have a plan, that becomes a problem because what happens is the debt, instead of being creative and thoughtful with your money because you didn't earn it, it just came in as debt, it's so easy to waste it, which is, and then what happens is you don't grow your company, you've got the debt, and now you're really in a bad spot. So I'm not saying debt for all companies of all times is always a bad thing, but I am saying for the cleaning industry, the way our cash flow works, it's not a debt. It's not like you have these big receivables or you've got this huge equipment need. You've got to spend $1 million to open a manufacturing plant. The way our business is set up, and this is one of the reasons I choose to coach it, is you should be able to grow with internal cash flow. So I guess the first part of the answer to your question, Doug, is yes, you're on the right track with saying, I want to grow this and I don't want to take on debt. The kind of implied question is that possible and is that a good idea? And my not implied, but flat out answer is yes, it's absolutely possible. That's what I coach people to do every day. And yes, it's a good idea. Debt in our kind of industry, unless there's a really good reason and 9 out of 8 reasons are not good, that's a terrible idea. So yes, you can do that. Does that help kind of set the stage?
Yes, it does. It's awesome.
Okay, yeah. So I just want to encourage you emphatically that you're on the right track with that. Second piece is billing. And we've kind of got two different camps of listeners, or three really. We got the janitorial, the residential, janitorial, the maid service, and then the floor, carpet floors, tile, hardwood, all that good stuff. With all the janitorial and maid services, I think I've done a couple episodes on this that you can go get. The one with Mike Coy on cash flow is a really good one. But we talk about how to set up your billing so you're billing in advance instead of backwards. And that does a lot of good things. So instead of, and we'll get to you, I promise, Doug, because right now you're going, well, yeah, that's not how my business works. Or maybe it is. We'll talk about that. But for janitorial and maid service, absolutely you should be billing on the first of the month for the upcoming month. That way you don't do collections, you don't have bad debt, you're not begging people for your own money, and you're not negative on cash flow where you have to front payroll and then go try and chase that money. So, Doug, are your accounts mostly one time, or are they monthly accounts, or what is your kind of setup of how you do your business?
I mean, a few of the commercial ones are are monthly or quarterly. Because I like how you said that, you know, send the bill out before. It makes a lot of sense. The residentials mostly are one time, but we have, because of our reputation, we have a large amount of repeat customers that some of them just call us because they want to say hi to us and come out every 3 or 4 months. But then we have a couple of people that just like having white carpet. But I mean, and they'll pay at the time of the service or when we're finished with it. And then we do have a couple that we do at nighttime that they usually pay at the time, but they would prefer billing, which I'm not opposed to. But now that you say bill them ahead of time, we know we're going out there. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I would definitely be opposed to a billing system because now, and just tell them, say, hey, I've got to now hire and spend, A, that my cash flow decreases, which costs money. B, I've got to hire people to spend money to bill you, and you've got to hire people to pay me. So it's just a lot more expensive all around. We don't do that. So yeah, I would definitely kind of have them pay in advance. That way there's just no headache. And for those of you who are thinking, well, how can I get paid quicker than at time of service, right? If you've got these monthly or quarterly people, but monthly, it's kind of easy to go, I'm going to bill you at the first and, you know, whatever day we come out, doesn't have nothing to do with it. You're going to pay on the first every month. Makes their life easy, makes your cash flow good. Another way to even kick up cash flow, another kind of step is, and I really like this for carpet cleaners because you guys, one of the benefits, one of the big benefits of janitorial maid services is a kind of ongoing cash flow, right? If you can wake up on the first of the month and know I've got $28,000 coming in. And if you have your book set up right by the second or third, you've got $28,000 in cash in your pocket. And now it's just, you've got the rest of the month to provide that service. So that's the nice thing about janitorial. It's hard to duplicate that in carpet and floors. But the way you do that is if you've got something that goes quarterly and say it's a $500 quarter service for, you know, that's $2,000 a year. You can do a couple things. You can say, hey, if you want to prepay all that now, it's $1,700. So you give them a big discount because now, A, there's zero chance they're going to go anywhere else or change their mind or decide they don't want to use you anymore. B, right. Your cash flow just went up. You get to use that money all year. You don't have to provide the service, you know, until it's due. And C, there's zero billing headache, right? So that kind of is just a triple win. And for them, they love it. They save $300 instead of having to fool with paying you and calling you and scheduling all that stuff throughout the year. It's just handled. They write one $1,700 check and they know that their floors are going to be great for the year and they don't have to deal with that problem again. The second way you can do that is to do it monthly, where I say, hey, instead of, you know, if it's a home or that amount is a bigger amount for them, you can say, hey, I wouldn't give a discount for this. Just say, hey, instead of trying to find $500 every quarter, why don't I just charge you $1,500 or $150 a month so you don't have to do that and or you don't have to worry about it. And then maybe we'll come out and then instead of saying just call us at will, create a program, an annual floor maintenance program where you pre-prescribe the maintenance of those floors and they can just pay monthly or in advance. And that way you don't have to keep selling them. Does that make sense? Is that helping at all?
Well, it does, because it puts some cash in your hand right now, and then that helps with scheduling, too, so I like that.
Helps with that, and then, again, there's zero chance that they're going to go somewhere else, right? Because they're all going to say,
Oh,
we'll call you in 3 months, but maybe they get busy and call you in six. Maybe someone else puts a flyer in their door for a free cleaning, and they skip this. Who knows what's going to, maybe they drop dead. Who knows, right? But once you get them on the system, your retention rate goes from, you probably, sounds like you had a good retention rate, maybe it's 60, 70, 80%, goes to like 99%, right? Because you've got that handled. So there's manifold benefits coming from that. All right, the next piece I want to hit, and then we'll hit the lightning round, is on the advertising side, when you said you want to grow cheap or you don't want to spend a lot of money, am I putting words in your mouth or was that a concern?
Oh, no, that works.
Okay. And again, I've only heard that 1,000 times. It sounds really familiar. Not everyone always, you know, thinks they're the only one. I've never had anyone come to me and go, I've got unlimited marketing budget. Let's just, you know, what do you got? 10, 20, 100 grand a month? Let's just go. Let's do this. So everybody thinks they're the only ones that, you know, has to grow cheap. The big concept I want you to get, there's a bunch of different podcasts on the show where you can hear kind of specifics, but the big underlying concept that you've got to get is the only advertising that's expensive is advertising that doesn't work. So say I've got advertising option A and it's $500 a month. And advertising option B, and it's $3,000 a month. Most people are going to go, I can't afford the $3,000. I got to go with the $500, or even the $500 sounds expensive. That's the wrong answer, and you're not asking the right question. The right question is, well, what return do I get on my investment, right? if that $3,000 you knew was going to bring back $10 for every dollar you sent out, was going to bring $30,000 of revenue, now you get a different problem. How do I hire all these people? But that's a good problem to have. If that $500 was going to bring in only $500 worth of people, you might consider it, but it's a different picture. And what if I said, you know, I don't have enough money for that. I only have $100. Okay, I've got a $100 program. You're like, great, I'll take that one. Well, that one doesn't bring any business. You just give me the $100 and that's the end of the transaction. So and unfortunately, people don't think of that. It's always budget, budget, budget. What can I afford? But you've got to think about it is if it doesn't bring a return, you can't afford anything. None of us are big enough where we can just give that $100 and get zero return, right? You just can't do it. And very few of us have the opportunity where if I said, hey, you give me $1 and $10 will come back, you can only leverage that so much. But that's really what you want to look at in terms of what is my return. So if you know that you put $1 out and get $2 back, what's your advertising budget? I mean, it's infinite, right? It's really only kind of...
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can spend as much as you want. So you've got to really look at advertising or marketing or client attraction systems, which is what I call them, because you don't want to advertise or market and try and jam your market down, your message down someone's throat. You want to attract clients. So I like client attraction and I like systems. So it's not, well, we'll throw $100 at Yelp. We'll try, you know, a couple $100 at Google AdWords. You know what? Some guy tried to come in and hawk me radio time. We'll buy that. You've got to really have a plan and a system and a systematic way of kind of testing each of these advertising modules. And it all looks at return on investment. So the cash out is not, I'm not saying it doesn't matter at all. I'm saying it's like third or fourth in line of what's important. The biggest thing is, what is my return on investment and what I feel most comfortable is going to get me a bigger return? And I'll spend that $3,000 that's going to bring me back $10,000 far quicker than I'll spend that $100 or I'm not getting anything back. Is that all kind of putting it together a little bit?
It does.
Okay, cool. So we've covered a ton. Any other questions or comments or thoughts or fears or concerns before we move on to the lightning round?
It's pretty explanatory right there.
Okay. Well, I talk fast and these are recorded, so hopefully that's enough, my friend. Let's hit lightning round, brother. I'm going to give you three quick questions. This will be your opportunity to share with Cleaning Nation your experiences. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Just do it.
Okay. Our good friends at Nike are now dispensing business advice, but it's okay. It's good advice. Question two, what's the biggest mistake you made in the cleaning business that you can share with us so we can kind of save ourselves that headache?
The best thing to not do is hire or partner up with somebody you don't trust or that you don't like. It's hard to explain, but watch out for your partners. I mean, you will get a good one. I mean, but three times before this, I failed. Because I chose a friend instead of somebody that I could count on, even if we got mad at each other. And anybody that has somebody that wants to be a partner with them, make sure you can deal with everything, even if y'all become mortal enemies. When y'all go to the office, y'all are gonna be awesome together.
Yeah, I can't encourage you enough on that. I'm going to take a second just because that's so important. I've seen so many, I mean, having been a business owner for 20 years, I sat on the board of Entrepreneurs Organization. I've been in a lot of forums, the kind of private meetings where people have been talking about their deep, dark secrets and we kind of coach each other. And I would say fully a third of the problem, and this isn't in the cleaning business, this is just in business, but you know, certainly apply to the cleaning business. A third of all problems are, I want to kill my partner wants to kill me, I can't get out of this. And the problem is, the only time partners run into problems, there's only two times. One, when there's no money, people start doing really crazy things, right? When they get desperate, they can't pay their bills. Someone that you thought was as good as ever, all of a sudden is lying, cheating, and stealing. People just do crazy things when there's no money and they get panicked. The other time that they problems come up is there's a ton of money. All of a sudden, this little thing that you started is now a multi-million-dollar empire, and their family or lawyer, whoever's chirping in their ear, and you've got the same thing on your end, and all of a sudden people start getting real crazy. So the problem is, the only time they work is when things kind of just go average, and you don't need a partner for things to go average. You can do that on your own. So I just want to encourage what Doug said. Fine advice. Don't step over that. Be very, 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 very slow to take on a partner. Okay. That said, Doug, what's one idea Cleaning Nation can put into practice today before their head hits the pillow that will improve their lives and or their business?
Well, one thing would be if your customers need you, and you're sitting in a chair and you got too busy. Yeah, the guys are out there. You need to go do it yourself. Don't let the owner be too, thinking he doesn't have to work anymore. I started cleaning by being a helper a long, long time ago. And now I'm at the point where I don't have to do any work. But if another customer needed me, I'm on the way. And I'll clean right next to all my guys. And I'm not afraid to get my hands dirty. And you just got to be able to, what you saw a long time ago, keep that right there in your heart so that you'll keep going with it. And I think you'll find that your business is more meaningful to you. You worked hard for it, and it's a part of you. So, keep going. I guess that'd be about it.
Okay. And I keep throwing my two cents in. I agree with about 80% of what you said, but I am not a fan of continuing to do the work in your business. If you've listened enough to the shows,
you know what I mean.
What's that?
At the last point, I mean, you would rather make sure a customer was taken care of. So whatever you got to do, you get somebody else over there, whatever the case is. I mean, you just got to, you make it happen. If something's happening, you make it happen. I'd go do the work if I didn't have anybody else. Because, I mean, right now we only got four folks. But later on in life, I might be old. Obviously, I won't be able to do it. But I will be able to get somebody over there to make sure they're taken care of.
All right. Yeah. I mean, you absolutely got to take care of customers. And certainly, if you've given your word, you got to move mountains to make sure that happens. All right. Doug, I got to tell you, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion and your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know that Cleaning Nation appreciates you, as do all of your other floor care experts out there going, finally, we got another floor guy in there. If you want to check out Doug's show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.